1 Samuel chapter 29 and reading from the opening verse. Let's hear the word of God. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the reward of Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, "What do these Hebrews hear?" And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, "Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years? And I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day." And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, "Make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him, and let him go down with us, and let him not go down with us to the battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he be reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, 'Saul slew his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And Achish called David and said unto him, "Surely, as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host is good in my sight, for I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming on to me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favour thee not. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines." And David said unto Achish, "What have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" And Achish answered and said to David, "I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, 'He shall not go up with us to the battle.' Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee. And as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart." So David and his men rose up early in the morning, early to depart in the morning, to return into the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. We'll end our reading there at the end of the chapter 29. We're coming back to read in chapter number 30. We turn again to 1 Samuel chapter 30 this time. We want to read some verses at the opening of the chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Commencing at verse 1. "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, and Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Amen. We'll end there at that tremendous statement at the end of verse 6. And we'll just unite in prayer before we bring the message that God has given for this meeting today. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank thee for worship that has been rendered to thee. And truly we can say in the hymn that we have just sang, "I need thee, oh I need thee. I cry to thee, O God, that I may know a fresh and filling of thy spirit. We cry, O God, that we might know the blessing, what it is to be filled with the Holy Ghost, what it is to preach in the Spirit, what it is to have a word in season to them that are weary. O God, touch our hearts, we pray. Thrill our souls as we consider these things. And grant, O God, our hearts to be lifted from the valley of despair to the mountain side of victory. And bring us, O God, into that experience of a victorious Christian. Grant, O God, a word in season for every waiting soul. And come by. And grant, O God, a listening ear. For we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. For David, the promise of sitting on Israel's throne as king seemed to be dead and gone. Crippled by fear, with Saul closing in on him, David vented his fears in the words of 1 Samuel chapter 27 and the verse number 1. I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. In a rash decision, without any direction sought from God, David now flees the only place he thought that would provide safety for him, Gath, a city of the Philistines. How ironic. How ironic when you think that it was a citizen of that very city, Goliath, that had been the means of propelling David, the shepherd boy, into the limelight of Israel's history. Refuge was found in one of Gath's neighboring cities, a city called Ziklag, given to him by Achish, king of Gath. For 16 long months, David and his wives, 600 men and their families settled into their new home in Ziklag. For 16 months, heaven was silent to God's servant. For whenever a Christian steps out of God's will by affiliating themselves with the enemies of God, such is to be expected. However, God the Father never leaves his child to live in disobedience, and so he's going to chasten his child David and bring him back into fellowship with him again. We read the account in chapter 29 of the Philistines mustering their troops against Israel. In duty to Gath, King Achish, David is found among the ranks of the Philistines on their march towards the field of battle in Jezreel. However, providentially, David is spotted and recognized by the other princes of the Philistines, and he's sent back to Ziklag for fear that he would turn coat in the midst of the battle and slay the Philistines instead of his own countrymen. By the time that we reach the end of chapter 29, we view David and his 600 men tail between their legs, starting their three-day trek back home. However, as they traverse the last valley, as they climb the last hill, and as they round the last corner, they're about to be confronted with a scene of complete desolation. Ziklag had been ransacked and set on fire, leaving behind nothing but smoldering ashes. Chapter 30, verses 1 and 2 recounts for us for what had happened. For as whilst David and his men were away, that we read the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. As the men entered the city, there is no sign of life. Children and wives are nowhere to be found. And their response to such devastation is given in the verse number 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. There they stand, weeping in the ashes of Ziklag. Ziklag, have you ever been there? I'm not speaking literally, but figuratively. Have you figuratively ever stood in the ashes of your own personal Ziklag? Maybe this week you stood and wept in your Ziklag. Maybe today finds you standing in the ashes of broken health. The doctor has recently given you unexpected news. The outlook is not good, and behind closed doors, like David, you have lifted up your voice and wept until you have had no more power to weep. Or maybe today finds you standing in the ashes of some family difficulty. Relationships between family members have been strained for some time, and now they have been completely severed. Or maybe it's some child, some son or daughter that has chosen a pathway in life that is completely contrary to Scripture and to righteousness, that has resulted in you lifting up your voice and weeping until you've had no more power to weep. Maybe you stand in the ashes of bereavement. Death has robbed you of a precious loved one tragically, unexpectedly. Suddenly, a mother, a father, a son or daughter has been taken into God's great eternity, and your heart lies shattered in a thousand pieces, and you've lifted up your voice and wept until you've had no more power to weep. Or maybe today you stand in the ashes of a broken marriage. Until death us do part were just empty words. The wife and husband has walked away, and since that moment of time, you've done nothing but lift up your voice and wept until you've had no more power to weep. Or maybe today you stand in the ashes of an unfulfilled promise. God gave you a word many years ago, and it seems that instead of moving towards its fulfillment, all the circumstances are such that you're wondering, will the promise ever be fulfilled? And so month after month, you've lifted up your voice and you've wept until you've had no more power to weep. What is the Christian to do when they find themselves in the ashes of their own personal zigzag? When all seems to be so disappointing, when the outlook seems to be so hopeless, when the tears incessantly flow, what course of action is the believer to take? Well, that's what I believe the Lord would have us to speak on today in a message that I've entitled, Encouraging Oneself in the Ashes. Encouraging Oneself in the Ashes. Our considerations will center upon the words that we find at the end of the verse number 6. For although David was distressed in himself, and although his companions were threatening to stone him to death, we read these words, But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. There are just two thoughts we want to enlarge upon today. The first short, the second we want to spend a little more time on, as God permits. Firstly, we want to consider together where David's encouragement was not found. Where David's encouragement was not found. Note in the first instance that David did not find his encouragement within himself. How could he? He was walking out of fellowship with God. He should never have been in Ziklag. He should have trusted God. The reason why David finds himself in Ziklag was because of his own unbelief. He did not believe that God could protect him from Saul. He did not believe the promise that God had given him that one day he would be king. And so because of fear and unbelief, we find him identifying himself with the enemies of God. Now it took 16 months. But God was going to chasten his child. Maybe you're here today and you're walking out of fellowship with God. Maybe today you've affiliated yourself with the enemies of God. Can I say that God, in his mercy, if you are his child, he will chasten you and he will draw you back. David should never have been here. His decision had led him to be out of step with God. His heart had deceived him. He thought that he could integrate with the enemies of God with absolutely no consequences attached with it. The record of verse number 4 and verse number 6 identifies the state of David's heart. We read, and David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's tears were as real as their tears. His heartache was as real as these men's heartaches. This man was as discouraged as these men. David wept. And then we read in the verse number 6, and David was greatly distressed. As David looked inwardly, he could find no encouragement, broken in spirit, distressed in mind, dejected in heart, discouragement. Discouragement was the only thing that resided within David's heart at that moment of time. And so he found not his encouragement within himself. But can I say in the second instance that David did not find his encouragement around him? Consider with me the things around David that failed to encourage him. I'm thinking, first of all, of the circumstances. The circumstances that he found himself in were not encouraging at all. His wives were nowhere to be found. His home had been reduced to ashes. His possessions had all been taken. All that David held dear in a moment of time had been taken from him. His circumstances were not encouraging. Neither were his companions. I think of those wives that he had spoken of. Those close companions that he had so often confided in. And now God has removed them from the scene so that David has no earthly companion here to encourage him in his hour of need. And then what about these friends of his? Let's remember that these were the men that came to David in the cave of Adullam. These were the 600 men, those that were distressed, those that had nothing. They came and they affiliated themselves with David. But now it's much different. What does it say? It says that they spake of stoning him. Here were companions that he had warred with. Here were people that he had lived with. Here were people that he had provided for. And now they're speaking of stoning him. And as he looked for encouragement, and as he looked to those that you would have thought that would have been there for him, he found no encouragement in him. You see, God was doing something. God was weaning David from all confidence in others. God was weaning David from all other saviors so that he would no longer have any confidence in the flesh. He looked within, he looked without, and he found no encouragement there. And maybe today finds you standing in your own zigzag. I don't know what it is. I don't know what has happened since last I was in this place. I don't know what circumstances you've been through. I don't know what valley experiences you've traversed. I don't know what family difficulties have come in thee over those weeks of absence. Maybe today you're standing in your own zigzag, and as you look around, there's no encouragement to be found in any other. And as you look within, there's no encouragement to be found there. You see, God wants you there. He wants to bring you there. He wants to bring you to that place in your life where you realize that you can have no other confidence in any other but in Him alone. God desires that we would no longer look to ourselves. He would have us to forsake every degree of confidence that we have in any others, and thereby cause us to look to Him alone for our encouragement. He brings us to stand in the ashes. The mind is taken to the words of Habakkuk the prophet. When God brought to such a place, he would testify within that third chapter of his little book. He would prophesy, he would speak there in verse 17. He would say, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no wheat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Here we find the prophet of God. He's surveying the scene of desolation that is before him. He looks outwardly to see if there's anything. Is there anything in the olive? Is there anything in the vine? Is there anything in the cattle stalls that would encourage me that the work's going to go on? That God's going to preserve, as it were, the work? And as he looked around, he saw nothing that would encourage him. And yet, it says in the verse number 18, yet, with all that, with all the desolation, with all the trouble, with all the emptiness, with all the barrenness, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. When you and I find ourselves standing in the ashes, Let us learn, as David learned, that our encouragement will not come from ourselves or from others. Maybe someone has come and said to you in your discouragement, pull yourself together. Ah, this is folly. For there's times when we cannot. There's times when we're so despairing. There's times when the troubles are so great that we cannot. We cannot encourage ourselves within ourselves. There are times whenever we look around, it's so disheartening, so discouraging in the work of God. What are we going to do? Our encouragement is not found as we look around us. Someone, as it were, coming alongside and giving us a pep talk, as it were, to encourage us. Our encouragement will never be found in such places. So where then did David find his encouragement? Well, that brings us to our second and to our main thought, namely, where David's encouragement was found. Where David's encouragement was found. Our text, in unambiguous language, clearly identifies the source of David's encouragement in the most trying of circumstances. We read in the verse number 6 that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Whilst no encouragement could be found by looking within, and whilst no encouragement could be found by looking about, encouragement was found by looking above, by looking to the Lord his God. One preacher put it this way: when David could not comfort himself in his wives, nor his children, nor his goods, nor anything under the sun, he could in something above the sun, God. There his heart found every want supplied and every good thing lodged. And child of God, this is where you and I will find our encouragement that we need whenever we stand in the zigzags that are scattered along the pathway to heaven and to home. Encouragement is to be found in God and in God alone. And until you and I learn that, we will live Christian lives that resemble something like a theme park's roller coaster, up and down, down and up. The Christian that learns how to encourage themselves in the Lord their God is a person whose faith will not waver whenever the troubles roll in. One preacher said, happy is he who in the hour of trouble knows how to encourage himself in Jehovah, for such a man shall surely triumph over all his foes. What type of Christian are you today? Do your emotions rise and fall like the ocean waves? Or is there a constant serenity of soul that comes about by a constant trust in God and by an encouraging of yourself in the Lord? Have you learned the art? Have you learned the skill of encouraging yourself in God? Or do you need another believer? Do you need another Christian? Do you need the minister to come alongside and encourage you in your Christian walk? You might ask the question, how then? How then does a person encourage themselves in the Lord? How can we do this? Well, let me give you a few ways that I believe David encouraged himself in the Lord, and how you as a Christian can encourage yourself in the Lord. I believe David encouraged himself in the Lord his God by considering, first of all, the person and the perfections of his God. He considered the person and the perfections of his God. Notice that David found fresh encouragement in the Lord himself. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. We spoke of that in our last prayer meeting prior to our holiday, whenever we were considering together Psalm 37 verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. On that occasion we made this comment, and I quote, the Christian ought to seek their happiness in God alone, in his being, his perfections, his friendship, his love. We are not to delight ourselves in what God gives us. We're not to delight ourselves in what God has done, is doing, or will do for us. Rather, we are to delight ourselves in the Lord Himself. As David considered the person and the perfections of his God, he found himself being encouraged in God. Although he was surrounded by the ashes of the city, and although he was surrounded by the anger of his companions, he found encouragement in the Lord his God. David was no stranger to the character of God. I say that, for David had two sources which he could extrapolate from that gave him a true depiction or picture of the God he loved and served. First source was were the writings of Moses. Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible, were available, known, read by David. And as he read the Word of God, David became more acquainted with his God. And as he did so, he found fresh encouragement. He did so as he read the Word. He found a source of encouragement in the revelation of God found within the Scriptures. He would have read portions like Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord speaking here to Moses, he said, "And proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth." Is this not what David needed for his backsliding, for his departure from God? Did he not need mercy? Did he not grace? Did he not need grace? Did he not need the goodness of God to bring him back again? How this would have encouraged him. "My God is a merciful, gracious, good God. And here he is bringing me back again." And as he read the Word of God, his heart would have been encouraged because he knew his God through the Word. But David had another source from which he was able to attain a knowledge of God, and that was not only from the writings of Moses, but also from the history of Israel. As David considered the passing of the Hebrew children through the Red Sea, David would have been encouraged by the power of God. As he considered those daily provisions of manna and quails, the bread and flesh in the wilderness, David would have found encouragement there in the goodness of God. As he considered the choosing of Israel as a nation to be his own dear people, David would have been encouraged in the electing purposes and sovereignty of God. As he considered the revelation of God there at the burning bush to Moses and on Mount Sinai, David would have been encouraged by the revelation of the holiness of God. As he thought about the bringing of Rahab and her family into the commonwealth of Israel, David would have been encouraged by the mercy and by the grace of God. Believer, you and I can find all the encouragement we need in the exact same sources as David found his encouragement. Maybe the reason why many of God's people are so dejected, discouraged, and depressed today is because they have failed to become acquainted with the God of the Bible and the God of history. The God of history. Oh, we would do well to take down the book of history and read God's movings in generations gone past. The 16th, the 17th, the 18th, the 19th, even the 20th century. And how God moved. Would that not encourage your soul, child of God? The book of God, the book of history. And so I would encourage you, child of God, discouraged today, looking around for some source of encouragement, I would encourage you to take the book of God and the book of history, and as you read them, you're going to find out something. You're going to find out that there's nothing too hard for God to do. You're going to find out that there's nothing too great for God to give. You're going to find out that there's no problem too difficult for God to solve. You're going to find out that there's no storm too severe for God to still. You're going to find out that there's no night too dark that God cannot enlighten. You're going to find out that there's no enemy too numerous that God cannot overthrow. You're going to find out that there's no sinful habit too entrenched that God cannot oust. And you're going to find out that there's no doubts too real that God cannot dispel. Encourage yourself in the Lord, man. Encourage yourself in the Lord, woman. As you consider the person and the perfections of your God, I tell you that will lift your heart from a state of discouragement and bring it into a state of encouragement. So consider him. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. David found encouragement in the person and in the perfections or the attributes of God. But David also encouraged himself in the promises of God. Did you notice that it is the covenant name that is used here at the end of the verse 6 for God? It says David encouraged himself in Jehovah, his God. It was a name that would have reminded David of the God who fulfills all covenant engagements to his children. That being then the case, though the situation looked bleak, and though death was, and the threat of death was real, David would have recalled to his mind the promise that God made to him one day in the home of Jesse, that one day he would be king. That one day he would sit on the throne. That one day he would rule Israel. And David knew that God would not suffer his word to fail. And thus he was encouraged in the Lord his God. Child of God, brother, sister, is there not a promise here, a promise within the word of God that is just tailor-made for your present trial? There is. But you need to seek the word. You need to search the scriptures. And so, troubled, downcast soul today, search the scriptures. Take God at his word. Claim the promises of God. Step out in naked faith upon those promises and encourage yourself in the Lord your God. For all the promises of God in him are yea and amen unto the glory of God by us. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. But David also encouraged himself in the past deliverances of God. The past deliverances of God. Had God not already aided David as he faced and overcame the lion and the bear in the shepherd's field surrounding Bethlehem? He had. Had God not already enabled David to slay the champion of the Philistines, Goliath, in the Valley of Elah? Of course he had. Had God already not helped David to escape the javelin of Saul within the king's palace? Of course he did. So God was going to help him now. He was going to help him through that present trial. He was going to help his child to suppress the mutiny within the ranks and to inflict defeat upon the enemy that had wreaked such devastation in Ziklag. God was going to help him now. It was Reverend Charles Simeon who wrote, "The lion, the bear, the Philistine giant, the murderous rage of Saul had given David abundant proofs of God's superintending providence. These he called to mind in his season of trial and distress and wisely judged that with such a friend on his side, he had no cause to fear." As he looked to the past, he considered the friend that he had, God Jehovah, he realized that he had no cause to fear. And he asks you, has God not brought deliverance to you in your past? Has he not proved himself to you in previous times of distress? Have we as believers now in the 21st century, have we not seen more amazing displays of God's power? Have we not beheld more astonishing exercises of God's love? Have we not experienced more abundant proofs of God's faithfulness in the history of humanity than even David had? And therefore, have we not greater reason to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God? Having been with you in a previous day of trouble, will God abandon you now in this present trial? Can such an unchanging God who has aided you in the past fail you today or fail you tomorrow? Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said there in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 10, he said concerning God, he delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Past, present, future deliverance are ours in Jesus Christ. One author wrote this: when we are at our wit's end, we should not be at faith's end. See it to it that all is right between your soul and God, and then trust in his sufficiency. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Let me close this message with 2 points of application. The first is for those among us who are not yet saved. I counsel you today to do all that needs to be done to secure God as your God. David speaks here of the Lord, his God. I ask this question to you. Can you say this of God? Is he your God today? Is he your Savior? Because unless God be your God, you have very little reason to encourage yourself in him. For today his anger, his condemnation is upon you. You who have sinned against him, you who have transgressed his law, there's very little in him today in your sin to encourage you in the Lord your God, except that he is abundant in mercy, that he is gracious, that he's ready to forgive. There's your encouragement. And so today, leave your sin. Leave your sin and trust in Christ's atoning work. Be saved today. Be reconciled to God today. Make God your God before you rise from the pew. Secondly, to those who are trusting in Christ, learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. Today you might be discouraged because of some outward circumstances in your home, in your family. Or you might be discouraged because of inward corruptions, your sinfulness, your failures this past week. Well, then lift your eyes heavenward. Call to your mind your God. Remember his person. Consider his perfections. Contemplate his promises. View his past deliverances. And soon you'll find yourself encouraged in the Lord your God. David encouraged himself and the Lord is God. May God help us to do the same. Come what may, I'm going to encourage myself in God. For in him I find all the encouragement I need for all of life's trials and troubles. May God lift your heart today, child of God. And for those who are not saved, may you come to personal faith in Christ. And may today you be able to say, He is my God. He is my Savior. May God bless these considerations to our hearts. Let's bow in a word of prayer.